Well, new modeling shows COVID-19 cases overall are declining in the province, but we still don't know for sure when GTA students will be back in the classroom. Schools scheduled to return to in-person learning on February 10th, and doctors like Hirotaka Yamashiro are hopeful that it stays that way. He's the past president of Pediatricians Alliance of Ontario. The group is calling on the province to reopen schools as soon as it's safe to do so. We've got Dr. Yamashiro on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why is it so important for kids to be back in school?
Well, we know that for kids long-term, school is a very, very important part, not of their day-to-day life, but obviously long-term in terms of their development, to develop into normal, emotionally and physically healthy adults. And we know that the longer we keep them out of school in person, that becomes, that could be jeopardized. And that's something pediatricians are very concerned about. Mm-hmm.
So what, if any, benchmark needs to be met then for schools to reopen?
I'm sorry?
What, if any, benchmark is there that needs to be met for schools to be reopened?
Well, I think what we know that when kids, children are just at home and not able to really build those relationships that they normally have in going to school, they're getting a lot of excess screen time. And we know that there were already a lot of mood disorders in terms of depression and anxiety and older children, substance abuse and different eating disorders, a whole host of medical issues that come from having emotional issues. And all of those are really going to get worse as we go on and not be able to go get kids back into school.
What I mean by that is there a certain level of new COVID cases during the day, a certain percent positivity rate that we need to wait for, a benchmark, a threshold we need to pass before schools should be reopened, before they're safe, in your mind?
And you know, that's an excellent question. And I know everybody wants to know what that, if there's a magic number where we can give that go sign and have kids go back. But we also have to be cognizant that it is a balance between what we want for the well-being of children, which I just mentioned, but there are obviously public health considerations for community spread and the implication from that. And it's a very delicate balance. And that's why it's going to be one of those things that's going to vary by geographical reasons across Ontario. And we do agree that bringing in rapid testing and the ability to tailor when kids can go back, so not only can they go back, but they can stay back in school for their own well-being. We can tailor that to where the needs are, and we really need to be able to be nimble and be able to do that.
Do you think at this point enough has been done to make schools as safe as they can be?
Sorry, what was that again?
Do you think that enough has been done right now to make schools as safe as they can be?
Well, we can always do better, I think. I think there's a lot of experts that have worked on a variety of recommendations. We know there's an updated report led by some authors from SickKids as well as some children's hospitals across Ontario. We know the importance of ventilation. We know the importance for children to follow the same precautions we do in terms of hand washing, the mask. There's a way to do it, and we're hoping that there's always more to do, and that the province will be bringing those in as kids go back to school.
You know, there's a lot of talk about, and we're all doing it now, masking to keep ourselves and others safe. But we were speaking with infection control epidemiologist Colin Furness earlier on the program, and he pointed out that masks are actually the second part of that type of safety. Staying distant from people is the first major step we need to follow here. We know that social distancing in schools is difficult, especially in elementary, where there are upwards of 20 kids in a class. Is that a concern?
It's one of those things I think we're just going to have to monitor. This is what this pandemic has really taught all of us is to expect the unknown and to expect to have to really update any recommendations you have to keep people safe. And I think we just have to be very aware of that and be able to adapt that. And that includes both adults and children.
Since kids tend to be asymptomatic, what do we know about the transmission rates at schools?
So that's an ongoing point of research, and it's a very important question when you look at studies that we know have been done not only in North America but worldwide. And we know that although there's sort of this general feeling that a lot of children remain asymptomatic when they get COVID-19. Now that we have different mutations taking hold in different parts of the world, what we're seeing is that there are more instances of children, first of all, becoming symptomatic from COVID-19. Second of all, there are examples where children have contracted COVID-19, been asymptomatic, but have definitely been sources of spread, including some super spreader events. So there's an unpredictability to what children may do in contracting COVID-19, and we need to be respectful of that.
Did you mention that the data that we were working with around school transmissions is from studies away from Toronto, away from Ontario?
Yeah, so if you monitor what's going on out there, we're learning more and more about what happens with COVID-19 and children. And, you know, from a physical and emotional health standpoint, we're really looking for data that's really specific for Ontario and Ontario's children. So that's why we're about to embark on a survey to our pediatricians across Ontario to hear from them firsthand what those effects are, what sort of positivity rates they're seeing in their patient, and what the effects of that have been in terms of have they spread it to within their household, how have they been physically and mentally health in terms of their physical or mental health, okay. what are the short and long-term outcomes of what's going on, and I'd be happy to come back on this show to discuss the results of those surveys.
I definitely want to talk about that when that happens. I just wanted to establish where the information we're working with right now is coming from. What do we know about the benefits of being in the physical classroom?
Well, what we know about the benefits of being in a classroom is really invaluable. Children of all ages, not only do they get a chance to reestablish the ability to the social connections, their ability to regulate their emotions, and also probably the most important thing is for them to maintain and build on a very important concept that's important for the development of emotionally and physically healthy children, which is resilience and the ability to go through the ups and downs of interacting with other, not only their peers, the same age group, their friends, but their teachers. And there's it's really hard to put a value on that because they've been missing really almost for the last year.
Well, what do you fear then will be the biggest consequences down the line if schools in the GTA continue to stay closed beyond mid-February?
I think what we need to be, we probably already need to plan now to put in not only short but long-term emotional, mental health, and physical health, of course, the secondarily their physical health of children in terms of when they finally get to go back to school. Because the longer they stay out of school and are going through just virtual learning, the longer it's going to take for them to recover emotionally and physically to get back to a normal state. So I think as adults, as the caregivers of our children, what we need to do is to listen to them now, give them the support now, but also give them a sense of hope. And as part of that hope, not only will life get a little bit more back to normal, so to speak, hopefully by the fall when we have a new school year coming, but also to commit to giving them ongoing support, even long after this pandemic is done, long after everybody's been able to go back to school, just because we know that the damage that has been done to them emotionally and to their physical health is not going to be an easy fix. And we need to commit to recognizing and supporting that.
Thanks so much for your time this morning, Doctor.
Thank you.
Dr. Hirotaka Yamashiro is a pediatrician and current chair of pediatrics with the Ontario Medical Association. He's also the past president of the Pediatricians Alliance of Ontario.